गौरवाणी प्रचारणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेश चारणे. We are here in New Dwarka, home of the most famous, most beautiful deities anywhere, without competition. Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarakadisha Ki. I am dedicating today's class to Swabhas Prabhu, that Rukmini Dwarakadish guides him ever and ever onward and onward to maintain this temple so that it remains the best temple in the world. So we are studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, the creative impetus, chapter number 8, a description of the character of Bharata Maharaj. I believe we're on text 26, is that correct? Is that where we left off? 24? So we should do 24, is that what you're saying? Shukadev didn't do it yesterday. Start from 24. Got it. All right. Yeah, let's chant the mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Just one more thing. Jai Baladev Das, this morning you led a very nice Mangalarti Kirtan. It was very nice. Coming off of the internet. It was very nice. Okay, text 24. Apisvid asau bhagavan udupatir enang mrigapati bayan mrita matarang mrigabalakang swashrama paribhashtam anukampaya kripana jana vatsala paripati. Please repeat the translation. Maharaj Bharat continued to speak like a madman. Seeing above his head the dark marks on the rising moon, which resembled a deer, he said, "Can it be that the moon, who was so kind to an unhappy man, might also be kind upon my deer, knowing that it has strayed from home and has become motherless? This moon has given the deer shelter near itself just to protect it from the fearful attacks of a lion." So there is no purport. Text 25. Kim Vatmaja Vishlesha Jvara Dava Dahana Shikabir Upatapriyana Ridayastala Nalinikam Mam Upasrita Mrigi Tanayam Shishira Shantanuraga Gunita Nijavadana Saliam Ritamaya Gvastabhi Swadayaticha. After perceiving the moonshine, Maharaj Bharat continued speaking like a crazy person. He said, "The deer's son was so submissive and dear to me that due to its separation, I am feeling separation from my own son. Due to the burning fever of this separation, I am suffering as if inflamed by a forest fire. My heart, which is like the lily of the land, is now burning. Seeing me so distressed, the moon is certainly splashing its shining nectar upon me, just as a friend throws water on another friend who has a high fever. In this way, the moon is bringing me happiness." Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. According to Ayurvedic treatment, it is said that if one has a high fever, someone should splash him with water after gargling this water. In this way, the fever subsides. Although Bharata Maharaj was very aggrieved due to the separation of his so-called son, the deer, he thought that the moon was splashing gargled water on him from its mouth, and that this water would subdue his high fever, which was raging due to separation from the deer. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Trinadavi Sinichena Tarad Iva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sada Hari Hare Nama Hare Nama Hare Nama Iva Kevalam Kalu Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata. So this point here in the purport about splashing someone with gargled water, back in sometime 1978 or 79, I was in the New York Temple, 55th Street, and there was this devotee, I forget his name, and he had a very, very high fever. So I showed him this purport in the fifth canto. He said, go for it. So I did it, and his fever went away. So it was like confirmation for him and myself that Prabhupada's books, they're not a joke. What Prabhupada is writing in his books, you can take it to the bank, beyond the bank. Prabhupada does not cheat us. Everybody out there, radio show, politicians, teachers, they're all crooks. They're all cheaters. That's right, if you're listening out there. Yes. I only know one person that I place my trust in. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who used to sign his letters, your ever-well-wisher. And that has always been the case. Your ever-well-wisher. Now, you may say, Narendra, why are you being so heavy all the time? What's wrong with you? Can't you mellow out? No, I can't. Because, here's the thing. The thing is that the conditioned soul has four defects. Unless you are a self-realized pure devotee, you will display the four defects. I don't care if you're the president, or you're a teacher, or a politician, or you still have the four defects. I'm sorry, this is not a criticism, but let's just call a spade, we used to say that. Let's call a spade. You're a conditioned soul. Therefore, whatever you say is going to be full of mistakes, because you have imperfect senses, and biggest thing, you have a cheating propensity. And since I have a cheating propensity, and you have a cheating propensity, let's not get entangled. But I know there's one person who doesn't have imperfect senses, who is not illusioned, and who does not have a cheating propensity. My spiritual master is Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I don't know about anybody else. Neither do I care about anybody else. I just need to know what Srila Prabhupada is saying. Shukadeva and I, the other day on Sunday, we had a nice talk about different aspects of preaching. And Shukadeva brought up this point that as far as we are concerned, we care what Prabhupada says. Not this, that, and the other. What does Prabhupada say? That's the criteria. When in the days of yore, when I would interview prospective disciples answering the 13 questions. So one of the questions, what is the unique position of Srila Prabhupada in this movement? That word unique is the most significant word in that sentence. Unique means special one. So what is Srila Prabhupada's unique position? And I would listen to the candidate say whatever he said, and then I said, now here's the point. The point is that in this movement, we do what Prabhupada did. We study Prabhupada's books. We make our decisions, whether it be GBC, globally, or microcosmically, and in this temple, as long as I've known, the decisions are made on what did Prabhupada say, what did Prabhupada write, and how did Prabhupada act in such and such a circumstance. That is unique, Prabhupada's position. The history has already shown they have tried to introduce some other authority, thinking that they knew better. But Prabhupada's GBC came in. No. You have to give up this other so-called authority if you want to remain in ISKCON. They gave that ultimatum. Prabhupada's books and Prabhupada's example is the benchmark, is the standard of how ISKCON will go on for the next 10,000 years. Otherwise, I don't want any part of it myself. That's my statement. Okay? You can quote me on it. But, thank God, Prabhupada is still the unique position in this movement. What do you say, Suhas? Do you like that? I thought you would. So, today is a very, very special day. No, not because it's 9/11. That's not why it's a special day. Today is the day, back in 1965, when Prabhupada arrived in America, which I have said many, many times, the greatest day in American history. The greatest day. Because without Prabhupada coming to America, I doubt there would still be an America. Prabhupada came to America in 1965 on the order of his Guru Maharaj. Prabhupada could have stayed in Vrindavan doing bhajan and being sadhu, but no. All he could think about was the Guru Maharaj's order. Most powerful, the spiritual master's instruction. Prabhupada was almost 70 years old. He celebrated his 70th birthday on the boat. So he arrived on September 17th, 18th, 1965. What was the radio playing? The Beatles were singing, "Help!" Prabhupada heard their cry, "Yes, I'm coming." The Rolling Stones were singing, "I can't get no satisfaction." Prabhupada says, "Yes, I know why." So, the airways were priming, getting everybody ready. And Prabhupada arrived in America. Just like in the American history, the Europeans came on boat. They landed, what is that, Plymouth Rock or something like that, right? The history is there, which they brainwashed us in school. You had to study the American Shastras of history and worship the Acharyas like President Washington and Abraham Lincoln and all these. But the real, here is the real thing, Srila Prabhupada coming to America. And what is so beautiful, Prabhupada suffered, struggled. He even said, "I struggled very much to start this movement." If you read the history, 1 year, practically nothing to show. And anyone who's lived in New York, like myself, when you think about how Prabhupada was living on the Bowery, the nastiest, stinkiest, the most degraded area, the Bowery, and there is Prabhupada living, you just shake your head that Prabhupada underwent so much difficulty, not for himself, for us. Prabhupada created this movement for us so that we would become Krishna conscious. Prabhupada's compassion and love. It's not just empty words. He proved it by his actions speak louder than words. Prabhupada showed he was the most advanced devotee. He proved it. Nobody else came. And even he invited them. They didn't come, did they? God brothers and such. No, they didn't come. And so Prabhupada turned to the hippies, the first disciples. And Prabhupada started this movement in America, in New York, living in a most hellish existence. Hellish existence. New York is bad enough, but to live on the Bowery, that is the ultimate sacrifice. So, when Prabhupada arrived in Boston on that ship, the boat was docking, so Prabhupada spent some time in Boston. He wrote that poem. And this poem, for me, is what gives me strength to go out and preach. I find this poem that Prabhupada wrote, this is the essence of preaching. If you want to get jacked up, fired up to preach, you read this poem. Prabhupada gives you insight to what it means to be a preacher. So with your permission, I'd like to read it. Is that all right? My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. That's called surrender. That's what it means to be surrendered. So right at the beginning, Prabhupada is surrendering. But I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? He hasn't even gone there yet. He already knows it's a terrible place. Trikalagya. He already knows what he's in store for. He knows this isn't Vrindavan. He knows right away, this ain't going to be Vrindavan. And Prabhupada didn't have Google or internet to see. No, he knows. Terrible place. And New York, right? Everybody thinks the Big Apple. They still think it's the greatest place. And I'm from New York. That's how you think. When you're a New Yorker, you think, hey, forget about it. We're New Yorkers. We're the kings of the world. Until you get out of New York and you realize, oh, there's another world besides New York. Oh, now I never want to go back. Sorry. New York is too nice. Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied. And therefore, they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. So, anyone who's preached, especially if you're going on book distribution, this is what you come across. They think themselves happy and satisfied. Anyone who's gone out to distribute books, how many times do the people tell you, oh no, I'm okay. I don't need this, right? Don't they say that all the time? Oh no, that's not for me. I'm okay. Yes, Prabhupada's giving you their mentality. They're absorbed in material life. They think themselves happy and satisfied. That's the thing. They have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. Yes. As soon as they see it's a book about God, nah. If it was a book about naked men and women, oh, let me see that book. Because they are so fallen, they have no taste for the message of Vasudeva. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. Yes. When someone is very, very materially infected, then the devotee wonders, how am I going to be able? But now Prabhupada gives you the clue. But I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible. So Krishna's inconceivable. Krishna is all-powerful. He can do anything. If there's one thing you learn by being in this movement, is the inconceivable power of Krishna. It's demonstrated in this movement on a daily basis. How materially it looks like everything is against you, but there's one thing, the Krishna factor. And that Krishna factor changes everything. Just like on the battle of Kurukshetra, materially calculating, Kaurava should have won. Right? Duryodhana had the choice, Krishna or Krishna's army. He chose Krishna's army. Arjuna chose Krishna, but who won? Arjuna won because he had the Krishna factor. How will the, I know that your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. So for me, this is what it means to be a preacher. I know nothing. I was discussing this with Shukadev on Sunday. I don't know anything. But I can pray to Krishna that he empowers me so that I convince them, not about me. It's not about me. It's about Krishna's message. Therefore, we can go anywhere in the world and preach to anyone, because it's not about you. It's about Krishna. And it's about Krishna empowering you so that you can say whatever you need to say to convince them that they should be a devotee of Krishna like you. This is the essence of preaching. Now Prabhupada goes into some nice philosophy. All living entities have become under the control of the illusory energy by your will. So someone may hear that and say, see how God is so mean? He's put us under the illusory energy because he's mean? No. Prabhupada explains this in the second canto. We made the first move. When it says here, all living entities have become under the control of the illusory energy by your will. After we told Krishna, I want to be you. I want to imitate you. I want to feel like it is to be you. We made the first move on the chessboard. Then Krishna's subsequent move is, oh, you want that? It can't happen here. I have to create a playpen. It's called Los Angeles or New York. Go ahead. Have your fun. Try to be me. Try to feel like what it's going to be like me. So Krishna is putting us under the control of the illusory energy is after the fact. The real fact is we insisted. We demanded. Krishna, I want to be independent from you. Anyone who's had a child goes through this. At a particular age known as puberty. The teenager says to the old man, I've had enough of this. I did that to my father. My father gave me an ultimatum at the age of 19. It was at 11 o'clock at night. He said, if you're going to live in this house, you're going to do what I say. Otherwise, there's the door. And I couldn't. I walked out. And I don't hate him for that. I would have done the same thing. And that's the way Krishna is. If you're going to live in his house, then you have to do what he says. Just like in this temple, Swavas is Krishna's representative, Prabhupada's representative. If you're going to live in Prabhupada's house, then you're going to have to do what Prabhupada says. Otherwise, yes or no? Yes or no? Maybe. Have you gotten liberal in your old age? Yes. It's not that you. There are certain rules. It has to be. If you work in a company, anywhere in this world, where is there that place where you can do anything you want? That's ridiculous. That's absurdity. That's anarchy. At some point, no matter what level you want, there is going to be rules, even in a gang. Say you join a gang. There's rules and regulations. They have even initiation. Yes, I've seen. They have gang initiation. Take this gun, kill that person. Yes, Maharaj. They have it. Even in Al-Qaeda, they have the Al-Qaeda Bhakta program. I'm not joking. This is real. They have an Al-Qaeda Bhakta program where they treat them just like we used to do in the 70s. Dhanavirs, you know, sweeten them up and pamper them, you know, and then train them. They have a Bhakta program for Al-Qaeda. And happily, they will do their suicide bombings. Happily. So the point is, anywhere you go, there's going to be somebody over you. Just like I sing every year at Rath Yatra, you've got to serve somebody. It's just the way life is. Therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. Yes. If it's Krishna who put us, then only Krishna can release us. Nobody else. A demigod cannot release you from imprisonment. So you can worship a demigod from now until kingdom come. You're not going to get liberated. But if you surrender to Krishna, now you can. So now, what is the mood of a preacher? Prabhupada says, I wish that you may deliver them. Prabhupada's not saying, I'm delivering them. Prabhupada's not claiming that I'm this, that, and the other. No. You may deliver them. He's praying to Krishna. If you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. So this is the mood of a preacher. I don't have any potency. I don't have any knowledge. But if Krishna wants, he can deliver them. So I'm praying to Krishna, empower me so that I can convince them so that they can be delivered by your words. Prabhupada continues, the words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation. And if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive oral reception, then he or she will be able to understand your message. So, sober. That's why we have the regulative principles. If you don't follow the regulative principles, you can't be sober. I remember very, very graphically, one time in Panama, I was preaching to this very, very wealthy family. Very, very wealthy. So the lady was saying, Swamiji, please, please bless me that I can have peace. As if I have a magic wand in my bag. All right. Ta-da. No. So I asked her, do you eat meat? Yes. Do you drink alcohol? Yes. Do you take any kind of intoxication? Yes. Do you gamble? Yes. I said, how can I give you peace? Everything you do is completely contradictory to having peace. You want peace? Give up these four things. Then we can talk about peace. Not that I have some shakti up my sleeve. All right. Om, peace. That may last 1 minute. But as soon as I leave, they're back to the eating meat, drinking alcohol, illicit sex, intoxication. Then what happens? That peace goes to hell. One will become liberated from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion, and thus all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. This is why we do hearing and chanting. We're hearing and chanting to get rid of all the inauspicious things in the heart. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? So even at this stage, Prabhupada is using this term, Krishna consciousness. I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. So just see, here's the pure devotee, and he's thinking himself unfortunate, unqualified, the most fallen. So what am I puffed up about? What am I puffed up about? The real pure devotee is feeling like this. And I have any reason to be puffed up? Simply ludicrous. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them. At every step, he's dependent and surrendered to Krishna. And it's not about him. He's asking for Krishna. For I am powerless to do so on my own. That's a very important point. We are not independent. We are dependent on Krishna for everything. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. So this line in particular, I try to always meditate on, because I'm always going somewhere to speak. So that has to be my mood. Somehow or other, my Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. In 1975, I was in India. So I was going out with other devotees to make life members. So on this particular day, the other devotees were visiting another family, so they told me to wait on one particular street corner, and they would come by on the rickshaw. So while I'm waiting, some government man says, "Hey, come here." And they took me down into this basement. And then in this basement was a huge table surrounded by about 15 Indian men. And I was thinking, uh-oh. What's going to happen now? Is this the Indian CIA or FBI? So they started asking me questions. Why did Krishna do this in the Mahabharata? So luckily I'd heard many Prabhupada tapes. So I said, "Oh, that's because of this." Then another guy, "Why did Arjuna do this?" And I remembered that Prabhupada had, because I'd only been a devotee 2-3 years. So one question after another, they were like investigating. Are you a real Brahman, are you real devotee, or are you some hocus-pocus drug dealer? So for a half an hour, that one question after another, and I felt like I had a shoot gun. You know, all right, next question. And then after the half-hour investigation, I said, "Okay, you can go. We can see you are a real devotee." So that convinced me that, yes, you better know Prabhupada's books, because who knows what they would have done to me. But because I had read Prabhupada's books and listened to Prabhupada's tapes, I could answer their questions. So, you don't know where you're going to be. And someday, when you least expect it, you will be called upon to speak about Krishna. So, you have to have this mood. It is up to you to make me a success or failure as you like. This is surrender. Prabhupada is not thinking that I have this expertise and I'm perfect. No. Krishna is the one who makes us a success or failure. Not our own abilities. I've heard devotees so many times. And I've also had this experience. You prepare to give a class and you study and study and study. And then when you sit down to give the class, what comes out? Krishna just takes everything away. You forget every quote You had spent the whole morning cramming and studying those quotes, and what comes out? Trinadapi sunichena. Krishna can take everything away at any moment. We're so fragile. Without Krishna's mercy, we're so insignificant. O spiritual master of the world, I can simply repeat your message. This to me is one of the most important. I can simply repeat your message. Therefore, it's not a question of being a big PhD. No. What is the qualification of a preacher? Simply repeat Krishna's message as given to us by Prabhupada. That's what it means to be a preacher. It has nothing to do with material expertise. No. Just K-I-S-S. Keep it simply Shastric. Keep it simply Prabhupada. So it's really so simple. I can simply repeat your message. I have to say this over and over. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. So that's where the art comes in. The art is in making it suitable for their understanding. When I'm in New Dwarka, I preach one way. When I'm in Chile, I preach, it's still Prabhupada, but the style is different. When I go to other Hindu temples, I can't do like I do here. They would beat me with shoes. So the message is the same, but how you package it. That's the art of preaching. Book distributors, you know that. Book distributors don't go out, take the book, thank you very much. Do you do that, Sachi Chinoy? Like those other people that stand on the corner, watchtower, up, up. No. You have to scratch your brain thinking so many ways how to just get them to at least look at the book. You're always thinking at every moment, what can I do to get this person to come in? Am I right? It's not like, this is Bhagavatam, take this book, thank you. No. Preaching is an art. And the only way you learn it is to go out and do it. We never had classes. Prabhupada said, go out and distribute books. Everybody had their style. There's the Sura style. He has his way. Subhas has his style. Bhrigupadi has his style. Sachi Chinoy has his. Everybody's got their style. It's like kirtan. If everybody led kirtan the same way, we'd all fall asleep. You have a nice style of kirtan, Jai Baladev. It's very nice. Very nice. On Sunday, one couple came up to Shukadev and they said, we love your style of chanting. Did they not say that couple? Now, his style's different. I'm asked this question many times. I say in our movement, I was talking about this once with Bhakti Tirtha Swami. And he confirmed it. He said, yes, in ISKCON, we have your ultra-conservatives. And we have liberals. Yes, believe it or not. Yes. And I've seen it. We have preachers, right? You are going to hell for Krishna! Surrender to Krishna! We've seen those kinds. And then we have, Krishna is so beautiful. He's with the gopis. We have that style too. I like to consider myself a liberal conservative. But the fact of the matter is, you're allowed to preach, like Prabhupada said, take my words, my teachings, put them in your language. That's the art of preaching. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. Purity is the force. That's the key to preaching. Purity is the force. Why do you think so many people were willing to give up their lives for Prabhupada? People who were bikers. People who were, you know, all walks of life. It was because of Prabhupada's purity. Prabhupada's purity was the thing that did it. I am sure when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel engladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. Yes, a preacher has to be convinced that without Krishna consciousness, they are not going to be happy. If I still think, oh, that's all right, I'm a Hare Krishna, and you can be happy in some other way, you cannot be a preacher. You have to be convinced, this is it. I have to give them Krishna consciousness, otherwise they're going to suffer. As I've said many, many times, if you are a car salesman, you can't be a car salesman thinking that there's a different car that you don't sell that's better. If you're going to be a car salesman, you have to be convinced, I am selling this Ford, and this Ford is the only car for this person. Otherwise, you won't make it as a car salesman. You have to be convinced. In any field, if you want to make it in the material world, you have to be sold out to that company. You have to be completely surrendered to that company. So a preacher has to be convinced, these books, Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada's method is the only way. I have to be convinced of myself, and then I will have some potency to convince others. Because if you're trying to give someone Krishna consciousness and you yourself doubt it, they're going to see right through it. You don't even believe what you're preaching. You have to be completely convinced. Prabhupada even said that. The difference, I believe, he had his GBC. And Prabhupada said, what's the difference between me and you? Prabhupada said, I'm convinced. You are not. Did he say it like that? I think there's one section like that. That is the difference. So we have to get to that stage where we are absolutely convinced Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada is the Savior of the whole world for the next 10,000 years. Here comes the final punch. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hand. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance, O Lord, make me dance as you like. Again, surrender. Does a puppet have independent ability? No, the puppet only does what the puppet master does. So who's the puppet master? Krishna, my spiritual master. So that is the mood of a preacher. I'm simply a puppet now. Make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge. But his name is Bhaktivedanta. But he's saying, but I don't. But I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. Therefore, as I said in my last class, 16 rounds, first order of the spiritual master. 16 rounds. If you want to be a preacher, you have to have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna, and you don't have strong faith if you don't chant. The proof that you have strong faith in the holy name is Kirtaniya Sada Hari. Always chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. Again, he leaves everything to Krishna. Completely surrendered. Signed, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladuta, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America, dated 18th of September, 1965. Srila Prabhupada ki. So by design, it is now 8:16. There's no time for questions. But if you want to challenge me or rebuke me, you can come and see me personally. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.